We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm expecting to hear in this hour from Gino Toretta, by the way, who's getting on a flight in about an hour and change. Go back home after Paradise Camp. We'll talk to him a little bit about Paradise Camp, what he saw, and especially the position he used to play and won the Heisman Trophy doing it, that quarterback position, because obviously that is the hot topic around that Miami Hurricanes football team right now. They just had Paradise Camp, which we talked about in almost nauseam yesterday because of how amazing I think that is as a recruiting tool, and other schools use their version of the Paradise Camp or their version of camps. But when you could do what Miami does in the area that Miami could do it in, it's pretty impressive. But we'll take some of your text messages as well. 56022 on the Kendall Toyota and West Kendall Toyota text line. We were talking a little bit before just how Miami is just kind of growing. And when I mean growing, I mean just kind of expanding in different areas, trying to make them bigger. Someone texted an old businesses reopening like Ball and Chain and Velvet Cream Donuts. Another guy texted in, Fort Lauderdale's rushing to be the next South Beach, but why? We don't want it. I understand you don't want it, sir, but I was just telling Omar during the break, my buddy, The Nose, who I do the podcast with once a week, and if you want to download the podcast, it's WQAM.com, by the way. He had his little birthday shindig down there in Fort Lauderdale, and he gave me the directions to this place. And when I was driving down there, I was like, this is a old warehouse. What the hell could be in this old warehouse that he's having a party? Well, his buddy took an old warehouse, half a warehouse, built a bar, an old school like shuffleboard tabletop game, two old school little bowling things with the pins that are like 6 inches, and you throw the ball and it kind of gets thrown back to you. They're all in strings. It looks like a weird place, yet it was packed. And people are doing that type of thing now. They're not going out down to the normal bar down the street. They're finding little places like this, and they're making them little fancy schmancy little places, and they're being hipster. And that's just the kind of world we're living in right now, especially in the area we're living in. I don't think in, you know, Franklin, Kentucky, they're doing this type of thing to their neighborhoods by making them, you know, Wynwood-ish and downtown Fort Lauderdale-ish. Yeah. We just live in one of those areas.
It's a happening
where
place.
They do it. It's happening, and there's places all over South Florida that are happening, and that's kind of the reason why this is happening all over our area. It just is what it is. It's a good place to do it. It's not a bad thing to happen. I don't know if everyone loves it. I mean, this guy's like, why are they doing that? I've lived down here for a while. It's just the world we're living in.
There are people like
me
who just don't want to go home and watch TV. I need to be out and doing things. Unfortunately,
yeah.
Drives my wife crazy, but hey.
Listen, some people are like, doesn't it? See, what bar is it with the tabletop shuffleboard? I'll find the name and I'll text it to you. I forgot that my nose is going to kill me now because, of course, he would love a free promotion for that place. But I'll find it and I will text it to you as well. By the way, Ira Winderman's going to join us in the 9 o'clock hour as well. I texted him very early this morning to just talk a little bit about the NBA awards last night, what's going on in the NBA. So we'll talk to him probably around 9 o'clock this morning as well.
Ira suspects he's the person who started the UD beef.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, that was interesting. UD on Instagram. Did you see his Instagram post?
I did see his Instagram
post. I printed
it
out just so I could read. First off, on the same page that we printed this stuff out, did you see, and I'll get to the UD thing in 1 second, did you see the billboards in Los Angeles for Kawhi Leonard?
I didn't see them. I heard about them, but yes.
There's one with the California license plate that just says Kawhi on it, K-A-W-H-I, and the Clippers have not put any of these up. These are private billboards that someone has put up, just like Lebatard years ago when he put up that one billboard in Cleveland that got him in trouble with ESPN. But yes, this is what's happening when we're 4 or 5 days away now from the start of free agency in the NBA and how much one player means to a city or what they can mean to a city. It'll be really interesting to find out what happens.
How much it means to Toronto, considering they just won a championship.
That's it.
After being swept the year before.
And I'm just... the reason why I still think Toronto is in the mix or the front runner is the fact that free agency starts less than 3 weeks after that guy had a parade in that city. It's going to be tough to just leave that city, I think, in my mind. But
I think he's going.
I don't think anyone could read Kawhi. Kawhi is one of those guys you cannot read. Maybe KD will give you some inclination of what he's thinking about. Kawhi just doesn't. He doesn't. Right now, he's just the art of every meme and gif out there in the world.
Here's the thing about Kawhi Leonard, and this is just my thought process. We'll get back to the UD situation, or UD beef with Ira. I love hyping this up because, you know, I'm used to the beefs.
Sure, why not?
Yeah. Kawhi couldn't win a championship with any team. I think he's like LeBron, where he now knows and can prove he's been a two-time MVP in the finals. I could take anybody to the championship.
Yeah, I think
I'm that kind of talented.
Yeah,
I'm that kind of talent.
He's really good, if not the best
so
player in the NBA.
He should
right
look
there.
To be living in, and this is where, you know, this is where I've always struggled in life. I'm not just going anywhere to go work because there's a dollar value to living down here.
Of course.
That's associated. Like,
different than in a lot of other cities. Yes, of course.
Like, I enjoy where I live. Like
if you got an offer to become the number one guy for the Buffalo Bills and the Buffalo New Times whatever it's called.
Yeah. It's a no. We don't even have to have a conversation.
No. What about like the Boston Globe?
I've had a chance for that too as well. It was not offered to me, but I considered it, and there had to be a dollar value associated with going. I worked for the Globe previously,
yeah.
So you know I know what living in Boston is like, and I choose this.
So, yeah, there's always something around the city, and that's why Kawhi's got pretty, you know, Kawhi's got anything. He gets whatever he wants right now. He's going to get whatever money he's going to get, and that's fine. The money's
I think
not,
he's a Clipper.
Yeah, and it's the Clippers, in my mind, Clippers or Raptors, and that's kind of what everyone is saying. I don't think there's a mystery team in there. I don't think Brooklyn or the Knicks
and I think it's
have a chance.
It's the Clippers because he wants the lifestyle as well. And Toronto's a great city. Trust me. I'm thinking about vacationing there because it is a great city. It's like the cleaner version of New York, Canadian style, cleaner and friendlier.
Mm.
Now, would I want to live there? Not really.
And that's the Kawhi kind of, you know, feeling at this point.
He'd prefer to visit there twice a year.
Yeah, but I just look at all the incentive stuff outside of the money. And I know that once you get $160 million, you don't have to worry about paying for dinner.
What does he need money? He's probably already got a home in Cali.
No, he bought a home in Los Angeles, I believe, another one in the recent months. So it's not like he's struggling at any point.
He's pulling the LeBron?
Yeah, basically. But, you know,
it's never bad to have property in California.
No, but even when LeBron bought a place out in L.A., like, I think he was down here when he bought it. It never struck my mind.
You didn't know it was part of the master plan?
I didn't realize it because how many guys live in other cities around the NFL and also have a condo down here in Miami?
Oh, I say this all the time, and people get it now. 40% of the entire NFL lives down here.
So that's why it didn't even strike me twice because—
Like the entire league lives down here.
Yep.
They have a residence property that they live down here primarily in the summer.
That's why it didn't, like, as much as I maybe didn't want to believe it in my head when LeBron was leaving this team years ago.
How could you leave this?
Like, how could you leave Miami? And, you know, like, what else is out there, especially going back to Cleveland? Now, in his case, it was different. He's from there. That's his home team. He brings a championship there. He is the god of all gods in Cleveland.
God of all gods.
Forever. Like, forever. Until Baker Mayfield wins 4 Super Bowls, and then maybe he's put on but that's kind of the Marino-Wade thing, right? Marino's the guy down here forever. Obviously, unfortunate for him and Dolphin fans, he never did win a Super Bowl. And then Wade comes and wins 3 NBA championships, goes to 5 finals, and even Danny sits back and goes, this is really, you know, now your town. This is, and it's hard. It's probably hard to admit, even for Danny at that point, because he was the guy down here forever. But it comes down to winning, and that's why LeBron forever was still the guy in Cleveland. He's the guy. He's our man. LeBron's the best in the NBA. But once you put that ring on the city's finger and say, by the way, we're champions now.
Yeah.
Like, we have won, even if the slump is over, and I did it.
Even if Kawhi leaves Toronto, I don't even think they can have hard feelings. They can't be.
No, I don't think you can.
Yeah, he delivered a championship.
Yeah, I don't think he can.
You knew he was a one-year rental.
He hasn't given you inclination.
You were all in.
Yeah, but he hasn't given you any inclination all season long. Like, I'm really not sure what I'm going to do in the offseason. I don't know if I'm going to stay here. He kind of just did his stuff. I'm here to play basketball. I want to win a championship, and he did that. If he leaves, even the ownership knew we're getting a year out of him, and maybe that's it. Mm-hmm. And the city knew that also. They weren't winning with DeMar DeRozan. So they had to upgrade, and boy, did they upgrade, because at the time, I thought, obviously, Kawhi was better than DeRozan. It's not even a question in my mind, but I was like, God, what could Kawhi do, like, kind of by himself? Kyle Lowry goes to sleep when the playoffs start. We didn't really know about Siakam.
He was there for two of the six games they played.
But that's all that matters, because when you see a guy play that well in two of the six games and really help that team win a championship— you get that. Like, that's it. Like, Kyle Lowry is now a hero in Toronto forever. He kind of was a guy there forever that everyone loved. But once you go there and you bring a championship to a city, you're forever that guy. So if Kawhi leaves, he'll always go back. And if he ever gets booed when he goes back, if he does go to the Clippers, then shame on the Toronto fans. Although Toronto's getting a bad rap anyway for kind of laughing at Kevin Durant when he fell down and got hurt. But you bring a championship, you're the guy. Dwayne's the guy down here. Like, UD's the guy here forever. One, because he's a Miami guy to start off with. But two, he's been a part of all their championships. He's a part of the 06 one, part of the big three ones, whether he played a lot or not. But anyways, that brings us a good transition into Udonis real quick, because on Instagram, he wrote this. I have never been the one to listen to outside noise. Keyword is listen. Doesn't mean I don't hear. It's a good opening line, by the way. Really good opening line. See, the thing most average-minded people don't get is if I let your expectations of me define me, that I wouldn't be here today. Problem is, majority of this world is average, and then words there that I probably can't say. Nobody ever expected bleep from a young fat kid from Liberty City. Hell, why would they? But I'm thankful they didn't. I guess I shouldn't own Subways and Einsteins and Auntie Anne's pretzels, too? Damn, that's good.
He's got a lot of business.
And Starbucks and 800 degrees wood fire kitchens either, huh? What I've grown to realize in my life is that my obsession with success, my drive to overcome obstacles, and my overall work ethics is way higher than most, and I'm okay with that. It makes sense why most think I should retire at 39, because most would, because most are average-minded. Most don't look like this at 39. He's right. He does look pretty good for a 39-year-old. Hell, they don't look like this at 19. Laugh out loud. So y'all keep worrying about the last spot on the roster while I sit back and stay ready so I don't gotta get ready.
That's a shot at Ira. Mm-hmm. That's a direct shot. Yeah.
I'm not saying I'm playing next year, but if you with me, then you will support whatever I do. Not tell me what to do.
Mm.
And if that ain't good enough for you, in the words of Barbara Wooten, bleep ya. You was never with me anyway. Oh, and one more thing. You're out your bleep mind. If you think I still can't play this game, I'll sleepwalk into a double-double because I'm just built different. Y'all should know that by now, but keep hating. I need y'all. A chain is only as strong as the weakest link, and if I'm the weak link, that's a hell of a bleeping chain. Well, #OG, because that's what he is.
He is the OG.
That's Udonis on Instagram.
Nobody's forcing Udonis to retire.
Nobody is forcing him to retire. If he wants to come back and play another year and sit on that bench, and he wants to be, if he thinks he's that 15 guy on the roster and the Heat are going to pay him whatever it is to be that guy, unless you are desperate in need for someone to play 35 minutes a night, which I don't know if UD could do that every night now.
Yeah.
But if you need a guy to come in there for a couple minutes here and there, do whatever it has to do, and then be one of the best guys on this bench, when it comes to team, when it comes to leadership.
Nobody's pushing UD out.
Nobody is.
And I think that's what
he's got a lifetime contract with me and that team right now.
I think that's what he's insinuating. Like,
if he wants to come back, they're not even going to question it. And it's not going to be a money struggle either. He's going to say, this is what I want to come back and play. This is what the offer is. This is what if it's the veteran minimum. By the time he played 15, 16 years, that veteran minimum goes up a little bit. So good for him. And if it was a direct shot at Ira, then we'll talk to Ira at 9 and see what his reaction is for that anyway. All right, we'll take more of your text. 56022 is the Kendall Toyota and West Kendall Toyota text line. That is a hell of an Instagram post by Udonis.
Yeah, man. Got my attention.
Hell of a post. We got a couple days till NBA free agency, and the Kevin Durant sweepstakes are heating up, I think, according to thebiglead.com. More on that after this.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
An interesting music selection today. I like it.
You know, speaking about this, women music, like songs that are catered to women, like I thought about this and I tweeted about this last night because I was listening to Trina's album. I mean, she is the princess of Miami.
Sure.
I got to show her the respect and listen to her album. I mean, she's a Miami artist.
Yeah.
You know, she can get my plays. I was working out at the gym. I was listening to Trina music and she has a song, you know, F-Boy. And she's had that song for a while, but it's on the album now, which is a new album for 5 years. And then she put on it two of the younger female artists, because right now female artists in rap game is like blowing up, taking off. You know, Cardi B is the hottest musician right now outside of Drake. Then you got Megan Thee Stallion, she's got some songs that are really popping and generating. Then you got the City Girls, who I don't know if you know the City Girls.
I do.
And they are probably the hottest group right now, even though one is incarcerated.
How does that happen?
She's a booster. She steals and pimps men, and she was really living that life. So women are and Trina put on two of the younger artists that are in this community, and it's like women rap right now is like the hottest thing.
Yeah. I think back in the day, too, I'm talking about, like, the Biggie and Pac days. There were a couple, like, when Lil' Kim was out.
Oh, yeah, come on. No, who's bigger than—I mean, Lil' Kim is, like, the queen of— Yeah, Salt and Pepper are pretty much—
No, I mean, you want to go back that far. They were the originals, you know. And when I mean originals, I mean the biggest stars to start in the women rap game, I guess you could say. But even when I was growing up in the mid-90s or whatever, and you had Lil' Kim out there, and you had— There were a couple good rap, but they never got
Foxy
the respect.
Brown.
Foxy Brown, they never got the respect because they were women rappers.
Yeah.
But now it's turned a little bit of a page with Cardi B, with Nicki Minaj a couple years ago.
Women want, and that's the thing, like, rap is so misogynist. It's so you know, focused on male energy and, you know, sex and this and that. And women, they deserve to rap from their perspective and about how to get the bag out you, Zach.
That's right. As long as I'm not getting drugged and my watch is getting stolen at the end of the night, it doesn't matter, right?
Yeah. That, I mean, it's a dangerous world out there. Le'Veon Bell learned about that.
You're right. Two women.
Hey, man.
Someone
don't judge that,
man. Put some respect on Queen Latifah. Yeah. Also, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So women are out here robbing you.
Someone says, you're a clown for saying Cardi B is the hardest thing out there.
I said the hottest.
Hottest, not hardest thing out there. She doesn't even write her own lyrics.
Okay. All right, cool.
Yo, man, Cardi B is better than half these guy rappers out here right now.
I mean, she's got a ghost rap. I mean, she's got a male writing for her. Yeah. Which, you know, the City Girls song, the one, I forget which song this is the most popular one, but it was written by a rapper. It was written by a man. I forget who the artist. He's got red hair.
Trippy Red?
No.
Ronald McDonald.
No. Oh, my God. This is going to be horrible.
Chuckie Finster.
No. Who wrote? Anyway, go.
Yeah, let me read some more texts while you look. That was a good one. Well done there. Here we go. A couple UD texts have been coming in the last couple minutes here. Sorry, but it's time for UD to go. As long as he is here, this team will be influenced by the ancient past and therefore will never be able to go forward. This is nothing against UD, but it's time to turn the page. Wow.
Ooh, stop it.
Wow.
Lil Yachty wrote City Girls Act Up, which is like one of the most popular hip-hop songs right now. If you put that on and a woman hears it, it's like she's going crazy.
Lil Yachty.
Come on, you not got to know Lil Yachty.
Lil Boat.
You got to know Lil Yachty.
I mean, I've heard the name. I didn't think
even
it was
though
a
I
real
couldn't
person.
Remember his name.
It's a real person, Lil Yachty.
Yes,
he did the Minnesota song.
Wow,
it gets cold like Minnesota.
Man, I wish he didn't sing that. By the way, I worked with Barbara Wooten at American Express and Plantation in Jacksonville. She was bright, hardworking, tough, and competitive. UD's a carbon copy.
I have no idea who Barbara Wooten is.
Me either, but that it's coming in. Someone also said UD is a jack bleep. Tell him most people retire at 65, so I don't know why he's talking about. Well, I mean, it's 65 when you're working at a bank, selling insurance, manager of a radio station. That's kind of when the quote-unquote retirement age.
Athletes retire at 30.
Can you imagine if there was an NBA player right now at 62 years old trying to get a new contract?
How did Parrish, Robert Parrish,
play? He played into his early 40s.
AC Green?
Early, like these guys were early. Like if you play into your 40s in sports, you're an old person in those sports because there's going to be people playing.
If you're playing into your 30s.
Half your age. If you yeah.
Like, I mean, Cam Wake can't relate to anybody in the locker room.
Oh, no. Look,
this is one of my favorite stories. So Cam Wake used he still does control the radio in the locker room. He still does control the radio in the locker room. That's
respect right there.
Yeah. That's the power status. You understand who owns the locker room based on who controls the radio. And for all the years that Cam Wake has been in the locker room, Cam Wake has controlled the radio. There are different facets of the radio and different facets of music. You go into one side of the locker room, the linebacker side, and Kiko Alonso's playing some reggaeton. You go into the back. Kenyon Drake is an old school guy, so they have some old school jams in the back. But Cam Wake has control of the music in the locker room, and Cam Wake plays our music, Zach. Mm. He's Biggie. He's Tupac. He's Outkast.
I like it.
You know, but that's so dated because we were talking about this yesterday. Those are oldies.
Yeah, I know.
Those are the golden oldies.
Scary when you put on one of these quote-unquote hip-hop stations now, and they're playing an oldies jam, and it's Pac and Biggie and, like, Method Man
Juicy.
And Outkast.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's like, oh, my God, that's old. That's all I have on my iMusic, like my Apple Music.
We listen to oldies now.
Yeah, I'm an oldies guy. That's scary.
So
Barbara Wooten is UD's stepmother, by the way.
Okay.
That's what's being texted in now, and my buddy also just texted me and said that she used to go to all the games and scream at him from the stands while he was playing, and she doesn't go on the road anymore, but she would go to every game, and it's a stepmother. That's cool. All right, that's cool. Then he put her in the little, I guess you could say, Instagram post, yeah.
And so It's you know, we're oldies. We like oldies now. Now I'm curious to see who is controlling the radio. Because when Mike Pouncey had dominance and control for a while.
Okay.
And that was when the 2 Chainz and the Lil Yachty's of the world, you know, reared its head. Then when Mike Pouncey got banished, Cam Wake regained
Who's
control back.
Who's the guy right now in the locker room?
I have no idea. I would think it's going to be...
Wow.
I would have to get... I can't guess. I don't know who's going to have control
like
of the radio.
Like, Kenny Stills be the guy?
No, Kenny's that's not his personality.
Who on defense?
Yeah.
I mean, Xavian?
No, that's not his personality. Xavian.
Rashad?
No, Rashad's never been a music guy. So it's,
I mean, it's got to be Kiko now, right? Like, he's the full control locker room guy?
Nah, they're not going to tolerate too much reggaeton. They can only tolerate so much.
I'm just trying to think here.
Like, yeah, this is a good question. I have no idea who's
going to control. Someone just texted Big Daddy Kane is oldies. You guys don't know crap. That's really oldies
now. That is truly oldies, but you're not going to hear Big Daddy Kane play. I love Big Daddy Kane.
But you're not going to get Big Daddy Kane on any of these radio stations down here.
No.
Even as like kind of the oldies jam.
I wish they played Big Daddy Kane as part of the oldies.
Now people are texting in just blasphemy about Udonis, and I don't know if I'm going to be able to take him much longer. Sleepwalk into a double-double. He couldn't do that 15 years ago. He needs to get over himself. Jeez. UD is a wasted roster spot. Another sign. Riley's a dinosaur. Belichick would have moved on.
Wow.
Yeah. Someone said Cam Wake runs the radio, and you wonder why the Dolphins have been going nowhere. Cam Wake's a good player.
Cam Wake is a ridiculously good player.
Cam Wake right now on this Dolphins team would be the best defensive player outside of Xavian.
Rashad. Yeah, he'd be third.
Okay.
But yes.
He's right there, though, yeah.
Name me three good players on the Dolphins defense. That's not hype-driven.
We only have 90 minutes left. I got to think
That's
about
not
it.
Hype-driven.
Yeah, you're right. UD, we already read that. Guys, have any Ryan Tannehill news? No. He's in Tennessee.
He'll eventually start for the Titans.
And yeah,
I can promise you that.
That's a hot take that I actually agree with.
Yeah.
That's a total hot take.
And him and Marcus Mariota, it's a beautiful, beautiful addition that the Titans have made because identical quarterbacks.
Yeah. It's a smart addition by Tennessee. You have a guy that every year gets a little bit banged up because of the way he plays. And then you bring in another guy who was a starter
for
7 years.
Identically like the guy that you're starting. I think it's a smart move for them because they shouldn't want to pay Marcus Mariota. Give Marcus Mariota a $100 million contract. Are you insane?
That's what's coming up, right? After the season?
No, like, I'm making him produce this year, and I'm probably making him play on the tag because Marcus Mariota is not taking you anywhere. $100 million to take you nowhere?
It's a lot of money to give to. And see, that's the problem nowadays, and it's good transition into some football talk. That's the problem nowadays with that quarterback position. that if you get or get close to the guy you think is going to be the guy.
You, if you have the possibility of, hey, maybe he might be the guy.
He's immediately a $20 to $30 million a year guy.
$100 million contract.
Immediately. Like, not, you can't wait. Because that's the problem. And that, oh, man, someone just said, UD only beat up Tyler Hansborough in his life, and Tyler didn't even know what it was, coming a cheap shot. Retire, you bum. I'm done reading all this blasphemy about UD.
This is ridiculous. That's crazy.
Because UD legitimately on the bench told Lance Stephenson, I'm going to bleep you up in front of LeBron, and LeBron had to calm him down.
Like, this is going too far here.
Someone wants Wade to be the new team president. Pat Riley should retire.
Oh, come on, stop it.
You see what's going on here? This text machine?
Stop.
Pat Riley's not going to leave without one more boom or bust type of thing. He's just not, because he can't leave on his last big signing being a sign.
Pat Riley's never going to leave.
Yeah, maybe.
And I don't think he should ever have to.
No, I don't think he's ever going to get
Red Auerbach treatment.
Oh, I don't think he'll ever be kind of like, hey, Pat, your time is up. You got to get out of here. I do think he will take a step back and let someone else kind of step into the role a little bit more. But I don't think it's any normal person. Like Andy Ellisberg, maybe, because that's been his guy forever. But I always thought, to a point, even though he doesn't have the great, he kind of always has, the angry look on his face, I always thought Alonzo would be that guy.
Mm.
That they would move Alonzo into that Pat Riley position to be the recruiter type of general manager.
I hear you, but what has Alonzo done for the last 5-6 years outside of being an ambassador?
That's just been his thing.
Yeah.
Like, he hasn't done anything else. He's been on some of those meetings. Remember when Riley has to take those team planes somewhere to go meet LeBron or whatever? Usually Zoe's on that flight, probably more for security than anything else.
This generation of players wouldn't even know who Zoe is, sadly enough.
Oh, that makes me feel horrible.
I know. I feel old.
We're old.
Like, I remember when Harold Miner was going to be Baby Jordan.
Oh, we were just talking about that the other day. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, Biff, what year were you born, Biff?
96.
Yeah, you got no clue who Harold Miner is.
No, that was the second MJ. That was supposed to be second MJ.
Yeah, he read about it.
Yeah.
He didn't see the TNT pre-draft preview.
I watched ESPN Classic, Technicolor back then, right?
ESPN Classic to find that out.
Oh, man. Yeah. Harold Miner, I was so super excited about him. Steve Smith was supposed to be the Magic Johnson, by the way. Do you know who Steve Smith is? He's on TV, so you probably
wide receiver for the Carolina Panthers, former one, right?
56022 is the text machine. I'm going to go vomit. Kendall Toyota and West Kendall Toyota text line. He doesn't know Tricky Smith.
That's Jerry's brother, right?
We'll be back right after this.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Is this a remix or is this the actual Shaft song? Okay, I was wrong. 56022 is the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. I'm going to read a couple more texts here.
Mm-mm.
No?
Not on UD.
I'm not.
Oh, okay.
There's a good one for UD here. This is a good one. If we could tolerate game after game of goodbyes for washed up Wade, God. We can tolerate UD giving us 5 to 10 hard-nosed minutes without any pregame theatrics. That's so disrespectful.
Because
holy moly. I thought it was a non-UD thing, and he just washed up Wade.
Like, washed up Wade. He was your best player last season. 100%. Washed.
You know, that guy that texted, or that woman that texted, I don't know who it was, but let me tell you this. I want you to, unless you're driving, don't do this. Close your eyes for a second and think about, remember, if you're driving.
You should do this when you're driving.
No, don't do that. Do not listen to Omar on that. Don't text and drive, and don't close your eyes when you're driving either. Two key things we'll tell you here.
Don't do makeup either if you're a woman.
Yeah, well, you're not that you can't tell someone to stop. It's going to happen anyway. The lipstick, that stuff, it's going to happen.
Oh, it's the eyeliner. You see some do eyeliner. Yeah, like, it's crazy.
I want you to think about what this Heat team is going to look like next year.
Close your eyes.
Okay. If you're not driving right now,
close your eyes.
Close your eyes.
Okay.
It's last year's roster.
Mm-hmm.
With no Dwayne Wade.
And Dion Waiters.
Dion Waiters is a little bit skinnier now. He put out a post. He is a little skinnier.
Do you believe it?
I saw him playing basketball. He's definitely a little bit skinnier than he was.
Okay.
Okay. All right. And Tyler Hero, the 13th pick overall. 13th pick overall from Kentucky. The shooting star.
the shooting guard.
We hope. Yeah. I say star.
The new Tyler Johnson? If he's Tyler Johnson, I think that's respectable.
But I think he's going to be a little bit better because he's a better shooter. Like, he is a shooter.
Okay.
Like, he's an outside shooter.
Yeah, okay. All right.
I think Tyler Johnson's probably a better, probably getting to the basket better than this kid is. But this kid is a shooter. Shot 94% free throw shooting last year for Kentucky. Like, he is just a sharpshooter. And that's one thing that he hasn't had in a while.
Dan Marley? Since no.
No, well, I would
no
even,
Ray Allen.
Ray Allen was on this team. Yeah. Even like Battier for a moment was a guy that will hit threes for you. Not a sharpshooter like Ray. Ray is just Ray.
Yeah.
There's maybe no one better than Ray except for you put Steph Curry and Reggie Miller in that fold.
Here's what I like about the selection. And obviously Pat Riley and that coaching staff count the number of guards that they've developed. Guards are small forwards that they've developed. Or rehabbed, or help blossom. That's their wheelhouse. They know how to do it. Like, if I'm asking you for a power forward, I'd struggle a little bit. Point guard, not so easy.
Yeah.
But shooting guard, small forward, oh, they got this.
Yeah, they've been okay with that kind of stuff. All right, good. Okay, perfect. He's just about to get on a plane, so we're going to have a couple minutes with him. Gino Toretta, Heisman Trophy winner, former UM quarterback, and also was part of Racing Boats PR back in the day before we folded. That was our PR company that we had because it's a long story. But Gino Toretta going to join us right now on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Gino, first off, good morning. Are you boarding yet? You're not boarding yet, are you?
Not boarding yet. Through security, though.
So, okay, good.
It's all good.
That's perfect. All right, so I got to ask you this. The one position we always talk about, the quarterback position, you were at Paradise Camp this weekend, and there was a little bit of buzz around a 2020 recruit and just that position in general. What did you see from a possible guy that's going to be here in a year or two, and what are your expectations for the Hurricane team when it comes to just that position?
Well, I mean, I think that, there were some talented quarterbacks besides just the one that I think is coming next year. I thought he was coming this fall, but he's talented.
I think he is.
There were some other ones, and I think probably the most impressive was the tight end who was, let me put it to you this way, he dwarfed Jeremy Shockey standing right next to him, and I was just like, and he was just ripped and big, fast, wanted every rep. I kind of wanted to tell him, though, playing left tackle, you'd probably be making $25 million a year.
Yeah,
that's exactly the conversation yesterday. Alonzo Highsmith was on the show with us yesterday, and he brought up the tight end also. And the first thing Omar said was, man, if he moves to the right end or left tackle, he could be making so much more money because look at the way that kid looks.
You're limiting yourself to three times what you're going to make playing tight end. Like, dude, you go be a left tackle, you could make a bazillion dollars.
All right, that's it.
Well, they can be convinced, trust me, because I remember when Eric Winston came.
Yep,
to that's right.
He was gigantic, and I go, you're better off at tackle, right? And he was disagreeing with me as a freshman, but he wasn't when it was all said and done.
Yeah, no, I covered that team, and after his first year as a tight end, really an inline blocker, they moved him immediately to left tackle, the position they knew they were going to have him play anyway. He basically, Eric was like, I could stop dieting and just be and make a lot more money. And he did.
Maybe I should have played left tackle. Anyways, Gino, Paradise Camp in general. You've been around a lot of things here with this university, and we know a lot of schools have camps. You know, Harbaugh comes down to Boca, or Saban's coming down to FIU, whatever it is. But Paradise Camp in general, all you guys there, I think there was, 20 players that used to play for UM, and the names of guys that were here. How amazing is that as an advantage for Miami when it comes to recruiting, bringing in these kids that are 2 years, 3 years out from committing, and they see what goes on? You're a quarterback, you're working with Gino Toretta. You're a tight end, you're working with Shockey. You're a defensive tackle, you're working with Sapp. I mean, you can't buy that kind of publicity for a team.
Yeah, I would say this. As a former player, it's great anytime that, we can get together as either guys that, I had a chance to play with, or guys I had a chance to play after, or guys that played after me. And I think that's awesome anytime we can do that. But then, you're a high school kid and you're looking, at all the former players and, what we achieved while we were at school, and then to, you know, have a chance to impart that wisdom on them. And like Michael Irvin said, just, you know, put what you learn in your toolbox and then use that, you know, to become a better player. And hopefully they can achieve the, you know, the things that my team's got a chance to achieve and after.
Now, Gino, you know what made the University of Miami great. You, back in the day, you guys, you didn't have a lot, but you made the most of what you had, and you all, it was us against the world mentality. Do you think that this next generation of kids, this new generation, can adapt to that and survive in that kind of world and atmosphere?
Is there any kid that's got an us against the world mentality anymore? All I see is a bunch of kids looking at cell phones.
That's it. Twitter world.
How great am I? Yeah.
You know, I think they can. I think that, you know, the facilities there, you know, all the upgrades, they've spent the money on the facility. And I think that it's just going to take the right guy to, you know, pull that attitude out of it. Because you know as well as I do, oh, you see these kids when they're growing up, man. They have that attitude when they're 10 years old on a Pop Warner field.
Yeah, some of them do. They got that dog now. Yeah,
they don't understand it, but they have it. And what's key is trying to get guys, you know, those coaches that have seen that in kids that are very young, to say, hey, this guy might not be, you know, the you know, perfect, you know, match for your team, but he can be a player. I mean, I wanted to introduce myself as zero-star recruit, told not to come here on my visit, 26-2 record as a starting quarterback, 2 titles and a national Heisman Trophy. That's what I wanted to basically show these kids, hey, I don't care if you're 0-star or 5-star.
Yeah.
You put in work, you can achieve.
Yeah, that's true. And you know what? You're talking about what made University of Miami great. I mean, I'm talking about the Santana Mosses of the world. These guys with 2-stars, the Ed Reeds, the Reggie Waynes. They didn't care who was coming. And they didn't need all the hype surrounding them. And now this, I remember covering the Coker era, and yeah, it was about stars and it was about recruiting the big names, and the big names needed all these promises that they were going to be the only running back and the only wide receiver in this class. And that was really the end of the Hurricanes as I knew it.
Well, when you let somebody dictate they don't want competition, they're probably like not good enough for competition.
Right.
So I think that, you know, that's the amazing thing. You look at what Alabama's done while Saban's been there, you know, to be able to continually ward off complacency when you have that kind of success, and to go into kids and just have the confidence. You know, it's like, yeah, you're going to sign. We're also going to try to sign better players than you. And if you want to come here and compete and try to be the best you can be, then come here. And I think that when you get that attitude back, that's when you go out and dominate. You have fun doing it. And, you know, like Michael said, we told your mom, your dad, your brother, your sister, your niece, nephew, cousin, we were going to beat you, and we had fun doing it.
It's always nice when Mike can give the speeches like that to start Paradise Camp, right? When I see the Paradise Camp opening up and I see Manny tweet out stuff, and the first thing you see is Michael go out there and give one of those speeches. I like to call them the $100,000 speeches. When he gives one of those, it's probably really cool for the guys out there. Because me and Omar were talking about it yesterday. There probably isn't a kid out there that actually saw Michael play a down in the NFL.
Nobody
Nevertheless,
knew.
Down at UM.
Gino, tell the truth. Nobody knew who you were, right?
Oh, there's no way. There's no way. If I didn't say Heisman Trophy winner, there was no way. But I would say this. The thing about Michael, I like his speeches are awesome. You know what I mean?
Sure.
I get goosebumps when I listen to him. But having worked out with Michael, like, I know that he was one of the hardest working guys, if not the hardest working guy in that building that day. You know what I mean? And those are the kinds of things that you try to impart on these kids. It's like, yeah, you see Michael Irvin as an NFL Network star, and he's a Hall of Famer with the Dallas Cowboys. I saw him when I was in college, and he was holding out for a better contract with the Cowboys. He's running routes with me, and it was me throwing to him and about 4 DBs covering him, and he was relentless, just nonstop. He kept asking me if my arm was tired. I was like, dude, you're the one running routes. This is easy for me to keep throwing. And he was just nonstop for hours. We were out there working on his craft. He was awesome to watch.
Gino, I miss those days. How do we get back? How do we get back, Gino?
just you get out on Green Tree and start running one-on-ones and start talking and competing. They had a little bit of that in Paradise. There was a little bit of dog in some of those guys.
how's Manny so far when you look at kind of, you know, when Mark Richt was here for a couple of years, and there's a legacy of, you know, whether it's the Jimmys and the Howards of the world all the way to the Larrys and the Randys of the world. But where does Manny kind of fit in the mix right now when it comes to being around those players, the hype and everything, and how he's handling everything?
I love it. I think that he's going and he's reconnecting with the local coaches from Pop Warner on up. And I think that, you know, it makes a great point. Like this program doesn't belong to the coaches. This program belongs to the players, and it's the players and obviously the coaches pointed us in the right direction. But that's the history you make and the relationships you have are all with your former players. And I think Manny sees that. He's reconnecting that, and it's going out and having the confidence of to me, it's an easy recruiting pitch because, you know, we joke with Crowder all the time. It's like, you know, you're not flying back to Gainesville to have Paradise football
game. No, he's
you
not.
Know, you come to Miami. Listen, we hope you make it to the NFL. You hope you win a lot of games. But, you know, wouldn't you rather live here the rest of your life? We do have a pretty good economy. You can probably get a job here locally, you know, better than some of the other places you're getting recruited by.
Yeah, it's something different they have down here. That camp, that I talk about it all the time, that Paradise camp, I'm jealous of it for everyone else around the country, just because when you look around at the pictures and you see who's there with those players, it's just ridiculous. Is there anyone still there, before I let you go get on that plane, anyone still there that's still a really good trash talker, like the older guys? Like, is it Sapp? Is it one of these guys? Who's the guy out there, especially this weekend, that was just horrible yelling at guys?
Heck, I was talking smack to Donnell Bennett because I told him I could beat him in a 40 right now based on all the weight he put on it. Corey looks at me and goes, man, you know, I love you. You're still talking smack. Like, you know, I think we all do it in our own way. Rohan Marley was pretty good at it, too. He had some good stories.
Well, I can only imagine some of the trash talking that went on there. All right, Gino, get on that flight before you get in
all
trouble,
guys.
At the FAA. See you later.
Appreciate it.
All right, that was Gino Toretta, Heisman Trophy winner, former Kane. Great.
Yeah, I saw Rohan Marley do a video in the Paradise weekend, and I was just like, he was one of my favorite players of that era.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, don't even associate what Bob Marley is to him. But I was like, man, that's so nostalgic. And thinking to myself, these young biffs have no idea.
No idea. The history.
Do you even know Bob Marley, Biff? Not Rohan, Bob.
He's the guy on the Rasta stuff, right?
Rasta stuff, yes. Yeah.
Okay. Rasta
Biff.
Man, right?
That's the Biff.
That's right the there. Biff.
That's the Biff. All right, speaking of the Biff, we're going to let him do his update here coming up in a couple minutes. Ira Wintering going to join us next. Talk a little bit about the NBA awards last night, what's going to go on, the craziness, a couple days from now when NBA free agency opens up. That's next here on the Joe Rose Show.
Radio.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.